Calvary Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
To say thank you to God, to be appreciative and be thankful, I don't know about that. But we have been equipped. We have been made in such a way, you see, that we can thank God. Because gratefulness or being grateful, it's about an attitude. It's something that you have to actually do purposefully. And even though we're part of creation, we were made different. We were made different. But we were made at the image of God. God himself, imagine that. We have the capacity. We've been equipped to reason and to reflect and to think and to process mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And on top of that, we have this privilege of having unique communion with God in an interpersonal, loving relationship with him, personal. So since we have this gift that God has given us in creation, that we're able to process, to reflect, to express gratitude, expressing gratitude for what we see, for what he does, and for what we're able to do and experience in this life, and for what we receive. And when you look at the writers of this book, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, they constantly exhort and say, praise the Lord, but they also say, give thanks. As a matter of fact, if you look in the New Testament, there are 61 references to giving thanks or exhorting to be thankful. 61 times. So being thankful on this earth, it is a privilege for you and me that we can do that. You see, not all of creation can express thanksgiving, but we can. And I want us to go to Psalm 136 now, which is the base for our message today. And it'll also continue on for next week. For these 2 weeks, we're going to camp out on Psalm 136. And Psalm 136 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to God, to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You get the picture? This is a song that they chanted as a responsive reading. You see, the main person would say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And the congregation would say, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And it kept repeating and repeating itself. As a matter of fact, there's 26 verses, and 26 times it says, for his loving kindness is everlasting. What is his loving kindness? We can always translate that in the Bible to his mercy. Some translate it as his faithfulness or his mercy, okay? But check this out. I want us to look at just three elements, because as you look at Psalm 136, you can find 9 or 10 of them that are actually things that we are to be thankful for. We are to be thankful to God for. And I want to just go through three of them. And the first one is, we give thanks for his creation, the wonder of his creation, the wonders of creation. Verses 4 through 9 talk about this. And verse 4 talks about that he does great wonders, that he made the heavens, that he made the earth, that he made the great lights or the stars, and he made the sun, he made the moon and the stars and everything. So we see that in verses 4 through 9, we see that he talks about creation and why, and it's so amazing. We need to be thankful because he made all that. Now, If you look, the sun rises and the moon comes out and the stars are there. What are they there for? Now, we can think and say, well, they're there to show and display the glory of God. But they're also for you and me. We need the moon. We need the sun. Did you know that? We need it. Without the sun, we would die. The moon gives us the cycles and everything. I mean, the time and weather and all that. God controls all of that. The stars is just a display of his love. Oh, my God. And his amazing creative power. And why do we give thanks? Number one, for he alone has made all that has been made. He alone has made all that has been made. We've made nothing. He's done it all. As a matter of fact, when you look at John chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, all things came into being through him. Who is this? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in creation. Some people think that Jesus was created. Wrong. Jesus was a creation. Everything was created for him, by him, and through him, the Bible says. So check that out. And apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Everything is alive, or everything comes into being because of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in creation. And we see that in Genesis chapter 1. We see the Spirit hovering. We see the Father working. We see all of this. And it tells us in Genesis 1, this progression of creation. And it tells us that he did everything. He made the sun. He made the moon. He made the stars. He made the skies. He made the water. He made the land. He did the rivers and the mountains and the seas and the valleys and the trees and vegetation. He made the fowl, he made the birds of the air and the fish in the sea and all of the animals, and everything was made. And when he made it, it was all what? Good. It's good. Actually, it's not that it was good. It is good. It's still good. Everything he does is good. And then we go a little bit further, and finally he makes man. He makes the man and the woman, and he made them very good. He went extra. He went extra because man and woman are the only beings in creation whom God actually blew his own breath in their nostrils and gave him a spirit of a living being like no one else, a soul. You see, so he's made it all. For everything he has made good. Everything he's done good. Actually, very good. I know that he is always up to something good, like we sing all the time around here. I mean, and what does it mean that everything is good? It means that everything has a purpose, even roaches. I don't get it either, Shannon. I don't. And honestly, I'm so mad about roaches, I don't want to get it. I don't care about them. But they have a purpose. Maybe the purpose is to keep us in fear or something. Well, some of us. Anyway, I've overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. But everything has a purpose. Everything that he makes. In Psalm 19, in verse 1, it says that the heavens are telling, are declaring, proclaiming the glory of God. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Everything in creation just declares his glory. Everything was made by him. And you know what? All this stuff about they're teaching in some schools that it's not creationism, it's by chance, the Big Bang, or whatever, however it happened. Let me tell you something. There's a story, and it's fact, and it's true. There's order in creation. There's a design. Therefore, there's got to be a designer. This world and this universe did not come to be just because something blew up and it got organized. Have you ever seen anything blow up and get organized? No, that's totally the opposite, right? It just doesn't work that way. And let me tell you something. It's funny. I read a story about Isaac Newton. He had a friend who was an atheist. And he didn't believe in creationism. He believed that it was all the Big Bang and by chance and all of that. And he didn't believe in God at all. So one day he came to visit Sir Isaac Newton. And Newton had made a model of the solar system. And all of the planets he built to scale, that the sizes they were supposed to be compared to one another and coming around. And he made this beautiful display of the solar system. When his friend came over, he was intrigued. He was he was like baffled. He's like, wow, this is awesome. And he said, who made him? And Newton said, nobody. It just happened. You see what I'm talking about? You see, there is no way that such a design could have been made itself. You see, everything in creation doesn't have a mouth per se, but it declares his glory. And everything that God has created, he has made for you to enjoy, for us, for our pleasure, and for his glory. And he's actually given this creation to us to be the stewards and to care for it and to enjoy it and use it. It's amazing. So we give thanks for everything that he does. And everything that he does is good. Why? Because of his character. And we can give thanks to God not only because everything he does, but look at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? He is good. Creation is good, but it's because it comes from him. And whoever made it is good. He is the source of all goodness. He is good. It's in his essence. It's in his nature. Actually, if you think about it, God is the supreme norm of goodness. He is the supreme norm of goodness. If you want to compare, or if you want to know if something's good, you have to think of the norm. Good, established, good. God is good. And everything he does is worthy of approval. Everything and anything he does is worthy of approval. That's what we're talking about when something is good, something that we can say, hey, we can approve this. This should be okay. And for, of course, we see that throughout all 26 verses of Psalm 136. Because of his character, because of his loving kindness, because he is good, because of his faithfulness, because of his mercy and grace and love. He endures forever. See, God is good. Then this means that everything that he does, of course, is good. Look at Jesus when he speaks in chapter 18 of Luke in verse 19. He says, you know what? Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? Now, of course, he's doing a play of words to the disciples and to the people because they call him good teacher, good teacher. Yeah, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And why would Jesus say something like that? You don't believe I'm God. You don't believe I came from God. You don't believe I'm the only Son of God. You don't believe that I'm God incarnate. So why would you even call me good if God is the only one who is good? Wow, it's amazing. Not only he's questioning that and doing this play of words because he is good, but the Psalms, if we look at the Psalms, oh my God, so many times we're affirmed by the thought that God is good. Look at Psalm 34 in verse 8. Taste and see. Taste and see. Try me to see that the Lord is good. Try me, basically. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You want to know how good God is? Go ahead and taste him. Go ahead and try him. Go ahead and try God. You see how good he is. Everything that he does is worthy of approval. Now, whose approval though? Think about that. If everything that he does is good and is worthy of approval, then who gives the seal of approval? I don't think it's you or me. We may see. As a matter of fact, we can't even judge God, of course, because there are times in which God does things and we're like, oh, I didn't like that. And God is trying to tell us, yeah, but that's what you need. Yeah, but I don't like it. Yeah, but you see, we got COVID. Yeah, but I did that or I allowed that. Well, it must be something good out of it. Well, I don't see it. You get what I'm saying? You see, this is very important because we have to understand we are not the authority on approving what is good or not good that God does. You see, we don't have this capacity. We're not equipped to judge God, to approve or reprove whatever he does. He is the definition of good. He is the norm of what is good. Therefore, it is his own approval over what he does. What matters? So what is good? What is good? Then good is what God approves. And what does God approve? He approves what he does because he is good. Think about that. I know it's a play of words. So this all, why is that? Because it all comes together with his character. Everything that he does flows out of his essence, flows out of his character. Therefore, everything that he does is good. Why? Because his essence, he is a good God. Everything that he does is not only good, but it's also for our good. That's a little different, right? One thing is to say everything that God does is good. Now, another thing, it's even going deeper and further to say everything that God does is good for me. It's for my good. In Psalm 119, the first part of verse 68, it says, "You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes." He's saying, you are good, you do good. You see, there's no way about it, no way around it. Whatever he does, his deeds are tied to his character because of who he is. In Psalm 84, in verse 11, it says, "For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk upright." You hear that? He's not going to withhold goodness to you if you walk upright with him. You walk with him, you follow him, you go to him, and you pray to him, and you ask him, and you go knocking at his door, and guess what? You will find goodness, because that's who he is. He is good, and he will not withhold goodness to you. As long as you, there's a conditional promise, walk upright. As long as you come to him with integrity. In some Bibles, it says integrity, and I like that word. Even when God allows something like COVID to come to our home and to invade our privacy and our families and our lives, you see, even that, there is something at the end of it that we could say, God is still good. And he's done a good thing. You've heard Gloria say it, and I repeat that. And it's very important that we understand. Those who love God, those who walk with him, those who seek him will find that he is good and that everything he does is good. Now we can use that famous verse that people use and sometimes misuse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know, check this out, Paul says, we know, we're assured, there's no mistake about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We know that God causes what? All things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, he's not saying that everything that happens to you is good. He's not saying that everything that's going to happen to you is good, but he's saying that everything that happens to you, I will work it for good in your life. That is important that we understand. You see, God is faithful, and even when death knocks at our door, when the virus knocks at our door, when hurricanes come our way, when things happen, guess what? God still can work out everything at the end for our good. But there's an important clause there in Romans 8:28. For those who what? Who love him. For those who are called according to his purposes. I read the story of a man named Alan Gardner. Alan Gardner was a faithful missionary. And while he was a missionary in a little island at the tip of South America, and all the way to the south, he experienced many difficulties, many hardships while he was serving God with the gospel. But even though he went through so many troubles, he wrote the following: "While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me." In 1851, at the age of 57, Alan Gardner died. He died in starvation and disease while he was serving in this little island. When his body was found, they found a little diary. And it had the record of all his entries, of all the hunger, the thirst, the wounds, the loneliness. And the last entry on this little book, you can tell that he was struggling because the letters were, you can tell that somebody was writing shaking while writing. His last entry read, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God." A man who is starving, dying, and sick. His last words recorded, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of goodness of God. So let's give him glory, for he is good. Not only because of his creation, the wonders of his creation and his goodness, but also give him thanks for his sovereignty. God is sovereign, period. God is sovereign. Look at verses 2 and 3 right there in Psalm 136. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You see that? The God of gods and the Lord of lords, period. He is above all. And not only because he's stronger than them, because there's no other, period. You see, this is one of those difficult paradoxes of the Bible. The Bible says that he is bigger, he's the bigger God of all the gods. But there is no other God, really, if you think about it. But that's who he is. He is over all. You see, God's sovereignty is a natural consequence of his omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. He is omnipotent, he is omniscient, and he is omnipresent. What does that mean, that omni? It means that is all, everywhere. That means that he knows it all. That means that he is in all places. That means that he has all power. There is no power missing in him. There is nothing. He is everywhere. He rules the universe. And God is described in the Bible as an all-powerful and all-knowing God. And we should believe that. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 147, in verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite." Wow. Great. He is great. He is powerful. He is infinite in knowledge and wisdom. It's amazing. That's who he is. No wonder he's sovereign. He's got all the power. He's got all the knowledge. And he's everywhere. He doesn't miss a thing. Nothing occurs without his permission. Nothing. Nothing happens without his permission. We always, you know, it's amazing and it's baffling that the Bible says that not even a simple leaf falls off a tree without his knowledge or without him making it happen. He's the author of everything that happens pretty much, oh my God, in the universe. Not even right now. Can you think right now? We are actually in the fall going into winter. You know how many leaves are falling off trees right now? And he's in control of all that. Every single one of them around the whole wide world. That's an amazing thought. God has sovereign control over the universe. And the fact that God is sovereign, essentially what it means is that he has the power, the wisdom, and authority to do anything he chooses with his creation. And we ought to be thankful for that. Imagine if God had given us that kind of power. We don't have enough power, and we fight about power. Can you imagine if we have even more power? There's a book that I read 20-something years ago by J.I. Packer called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. And he pulls out an illustration and he says, what if a man took a bowl or something and put an ant in that bowl? You see, that ant can try to crawl out of that bowl all she wants to, and it might just happen. It could happen, but man can stop the ant from getting out of that bowl. He has a choice. He can actually just let it sit and allow the ant to struggle until she gets out. Or he has the power to just say, hey, get out. Or he has the power to say, no, you stay in there. But the ant can move about and inside that ball all she wants to. You see, but the man is not forced either to crush the ant and to kill the ant, or to pick it up, or to get it out. He's not forced. He does whatever he wants with it, right? This is the kind of stuff. I know that these illustrations may not actually be the perfect illustration, but he may choose to do whatever he chooses, yet Why? Because he has all the power, period. He can take action. He can intervene in the situation. Or if he chooses, he can do it directly by just pouring out the ball and let it get out. Or he could do it indirectly or permit the ant to get out on her own and her own struggle. And see, that's how the will of God and the sovereignty of God works. Sometimes he intervenes. Sometimes he allows things to happen. That's what's called the permissive will of God. He permits. He allows things to happen. He allows things. But his will is always fulfilled. Even if it's indirectly, his will is always fulfilled because he has all the authority and the supremacy over everything. God has the power to prevent anything, or God has the power to allow anything he chooses. And there's a verse in the Bible which we have played with and misinterpreted. And some of you may actually say, well, guilty. Let me give it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Check this out. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. So we have taken it to believe that God will not allow us to go through something that we cannot handle. Have you ever heard that? God will not give you more than you can handle. Really? God allowed you to sin. Can you handle that? You can't. You can't handle sin. You can't handle the problem of sin. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being. Sin and be judged by God. And you can't do nothing about it. And God allowed it. So it's a false. It's not good. It is not the truth when we say that God will not allow us to go through anything that we can't handle. He's allowing you and me to go through things that we cannot handle so that we can let him handle it. You see that? Now, he speaks specifically of temptation. And he says, I will not allow you to be tempted more than you can handle. Because while I allow the temptation, I give you the way out. It's not even you. It's not that you can handle it. I got to give you a way out for you to be able to handle it. So does God give us more than we can handle? You better believe he does. Because if he didn't, we wouldn't need him. You see how we mess up when we read the Bible sometimes? It sounds pretty cool, though. As a matter of fact, I once saw that in a little, what's it called, koozie? One of those things that you put the can or the bottle inside to keep it cool, one of those coolers things. I saw that it said, I know that you promised that you wouldn't give me more than I can handle, but why have you made me so capable? Meaning, why you give me so much? And I thought, hey, that was cool. Well, I don't drink beer or I don't carry a can of Coke or anything like that around, so I won't buy that. But I thought it was pretty cool. But it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. You see, the only thing that's mentioned there is temptation. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have what? Peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. You're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go to trials. You're going to go through suffering. You're going to go through so much stuff, but yet I have overcome, not you, because you can't handle it. You can't handle the truth. Remember that? And that is the truth. You see, some people say that this pandemic is God punishing the world. Some of them say that it's the judgment of God. Some people say that it's the wickedness of man working the justice of God. Because even if people think or say or believe that it was created in a lab by a man, you see, God is still sovereign, and he will use our wickedness, he will use to judge the earth. He allows these things. But he's still in control. He's sovereign. And if it was God who brought this virus, then so be it. Or if it's that he allowed it to come because of some wicked people in a lab in China, then so be it. But he is still sovereign. Doesn't matter where it came from. God is who you need to go to. Because God has the power and knowledge to prevent anything or to actually do whatever he does. He allows himself. He gives himself permission. That's why we give him glory and thanks, because we are here, because he is sovereign, because his loving kindness is everlasting. See, the idea is that even though we will have to go through things that we cannot handle, and God will give you more than you can handle. When you lose a loved one, you can't handle that. When you lose whatever, when you go through trials, when you go through illnesses and disasters, you can't handle it on your own. You always need help. But let me tell you something, nothing can come against you unless it's sifted through the hands of God. He knows it. And if he allows it, if he designs it that way, and if he determines it that way, then that's the way it is. And all we have to do is say, amen. Let the name of the Lord be exalted. Because he made us. He is the creator. And everything he has done right. And he is good. I'm always attracted by Psalm 100 and verse 3. It says, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You didn't make yourself. You didn't determine yourself. You didn't say, I'm going to earth and I'm going to be born. You did not. It was God's design. So he's sovereign. And actually, if you keep reading the Psalm, in Psalm 100, it says this. You didn't make yourself. He made you. He is your God. You're just the sheep. And if you continue reading, it says, then come to him in thankfulness. Come to him singing and praising and thanking him because of what he's done. Because he is good. And he is so good that he laid the life of his only begotten Son on a cross for you and me. He is definitely good, like no other.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.